This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
K-Talk with the Dunedin Korean Society, Tuesday night at 8:30 on ORFM. 안녕하세요. 한국 문화에 대한 쇼 K-Talk에 여러분을 초대합니다. Join us for a celebration of Korean culture and music on ORFM Connecting Cultures Zone. You will find podcasts of K-Talk at oar.org.nz. Kia ora, I am Gi-ho Lee, the host of K-Talk. We will talk about the book Pachinko today with our two guests, Tyler and Grace. Tyler, would you like to start?
Kia ora, my name is Tyler and I'm 21 and I study at the University of Otago.
Mm-hmm. And Grace?
Hi. My name's Grace. I am 21 years old, and I am also studying university, doing my honors.
Yes, two university students today. So we started the song Whale Over Time by Goreya. This song is very interesting. Goreya is a fusion band. They are trying to modernize the traditional Korean music. I found this really interesting. So let's start by talking about the author. Who is the author of the book?
So the author of the book, Pachinko, is Minjin Lee, who is a Korean-American author and journalist based in Manhattan, the U.S. And yeah, she was born in 1968. She, I think she was born in Seoul and then moved to the U.S. when she was relatively young, around 7 years mm-hmm. old, and yeah. basically grew up there, and then went to school there, got her degrees there, and at first she was involved in politics. I think she did law.
Yeah,
she was a lawyer for a while, and then turned into writing, becoming an author. Yeah,
I think she has a very interesting background. She started as a lawyer, but I found she had some health problem, health challenges, and then it made her to be hard to continue as a lawyer. But she became a very famous author. I think this the Pachinko is the second novel.
Yeah. I think she lived a relatively interesting life. I think for a while she practiced law for like around 3 years, and then, as you mentioned, quit because she had some health issues. And then I think for a while she moved to Tokyo to like sort of learn about the Korean Japanese like experience there. Mm. And then that's sort of what like brought Pachinko to life.
Yes,
she also did write her first book, which was Free Food for Millionaires. And then after that, Pachinko came.
Mm-hmm. So this novel, actually, she researched about the lives of Korean Japanese while she was living in Japan.
Yeah.
So Tyler, could you talk about the story of this book?
So it's a novel about four generations of a family, and it spans over quite a long time. I think it's about 60 or 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it starts in 1910.
Yeah.
From the Japanese occupation of Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's broken down into three different sections. And it's a story of a family which immigrated to Japan and their struggles with social and political discrimination and just their lives, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the story starts from the Busan, Yeongdo, the South Korea, the southern part, the port city of South Korea. This book is divided into three chapters, the book one, book two, and book three. So what's the year band of each books?
I believe book one goes from 1910 to 1933.
Yeah, so I think that book one is mostly about their lives in Busan, in Korea.
The second one goes from 1939 to 1962.
Yeah, so now they moved to Japan, Osaka, and then they continue their life. But that's the World War II.
Mm, yes.
Now heading to the end, and book three?
Book three goes from 1962 to 1989.
Yeah, it's after the war.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a long time, but and it spans four generations. One family continue their lives. Okay. So there are many people actually are appearing in the novel. So the main person is Sonja. She was married to Huni. The Huni is a son of a fisherman couple in Busan, and then story starts from there, Sonja. So many people are appearing, Sonja and many their sons and Huni's brother and the grandson. So who is the most interesting person to your sense in the novel?
Would you like to go first, Grace?
All right. Yeah, as Kiho mentioned, like, because it's such like quite a long epic, there's a lot of characters that appeared throughout the whole story. And I think Sonja is obviously like the main character and like the driver of the story. But I feel like one of the most interesting characters for me personally is Isak.
Isak.
Mm. Yes.
Who is Isak?
So Isak is Sonja's husband.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a Christian minister. He grew up in like a Christian family and is devoted to the faith and I guess grew up in that faith. And he met Sunja's family because he was boarding in their house because he was trying to travel to Osaka to meet his brother and sister-in-law.
Mm. So why do you like his character?
I feel like Isaac is an interesting character because of how devoted he is in his faith and how sort of, to a certain extent, like very like innocent about it, like even naive in a way. But his sort of, so what happened in the story is that Sonja obviously got pregnant by Hamsu in a turn of events.
So the Tyler is, will continue.
Yes, so the character I found most interesting was Ko Hansu. I don't know why I did. I think it's because he was so complex and I found it very, very difficult to evaluate his character. I remember a quote in the book that stuck out to me, which is which said he did not believe in nationalism, religion, or love. When they said he didn't believe in love, I found it challenged by his actions, which he did for Sunja throughout the novel. So yes, he was who I found most interesting. I also liked how he done things for Sunja, but not directly for her, or things that wouldn't directly benefit Noah, who was Sunja and Hansu's child. Like when he retrieved, what was Isak's brother's name?
Yosef.
Yeah. When he got him after the bombings in Nagasaki. So his actions that wouldn't directly benefit Sunja or his son. Well, obviously Sunja, because they are brother and sister through marriage. But yes, that's what I found most interesting about him, is I didn't know if he did love Sunja or not.
So he also brought Sunja's mother Yang Jin from Busan to Osaka. Ko Hansu and Isaac, Sunja made relationship to both people. The met Ko Hansu first, and then pregnant Noah, but actually married, separated from Ko Hansu, and then married to Isaac. So Noah, how do you think Noah is the biological father is Ko Hansu, but spiritual father is Isaac? Did you find any self-conflict he is experiencing, Noah, the Sunja's son?
I think it must have been very difficult for Noah to find out that Isaac wasn't his biological father. And especially because he did struggle so deeply with identity, you know, growing up in Japan. So his story was very tragic. It was very heartbreaking to read, and it hurt a lot. As I did read the book, yes.
So how do you evaluate the Noah's life, Grace?
I feel like it was quite tragic at the, well, very tragic at the end, right? But his life was sort of littered with a lot of identity crisis. Even as a child, he felt he didn't belong because they were Koreans, you know, trying to assimilate with the other Japanese in school. He was like bullied, didn't really have a lot of friends. And after a while, I think he like sort of grew into himself a bit, but then that sort of got rocked with the revelation of like Hansu being his dad, and especially like Hansu's connection with the Yakuza. And I think there's a lot of like him trying to reconcile that part of him, like, because Yakuza's like associated with being like having dirty money, and especially like with his university tuition being paid by Hansu with that sort of money. And I think he really did not want to be associated with it.
After he actually, his girlfriend, Japanese girlfriend, let him realize that actually Ko Hansu is Yakuza. And then he wrote a letter to his mom. That letter is the turning point in his life. He wanted to dissociate from his family. And he was heading to the tragedy. Okay. And let's talk about the chapter. Which chapter did you find most interesting?
For me, the chapter I found most interesting was chapter 17 in book one. Mm-hmm. So that's the last chapter of the novel. And in that scene is when Noah is born, basically. So they, Sunja and Isak, have not been in Japan for very long.
Mm-hmm.
But the start of the chapter actually starts with an argument where Joseph is mad because Sunja sold a pocket watch that Hansu gave her.
Yeah.
To pay off the debts that Yusuf owed. yes, and he was very angry, and I didn't really understand why until I got, you know, further in the novel, where he was the head of the family.
Yeah,
and
patriarch.
He believed it was his job to take care of everyone, as it was in those times. And I think when Sunja and her sister-in-law,
Kyunghee,
when they sold the pocket watch to pay off his debts, it really emasculated him. And obviously, Korean people at that time didn't have much, you know, in that era, especially in Japan. And for that to be taken away from him, it was really interesting to see his story and how he reacted to that.
Mm.
And just yet added another element to the book as it went on.
Mm, yes, that's an interesting scene. And Grace, which chapter did you enjoy most?
It's been quite a while since I read this book, so I don't really, not a specific chapter in mind, but I feel like book two was the most interesting part of this whole book for me. It's sort of that transition period of the family trying to get back on their footing, you know, establishing their lives in Osaka. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to work out, as the last chapter as well, you know, like they were in debt and they had to try to find money. And then at that point, Isak was imprisoned, so they didn't really have like a lot of money to spend, and they had two boys. Sunja had two boys at that point, so she needed some income, and I feel like she started selling kimchi. And I feel like the sort of interesting part of it is like that patriarchal sort of society still entrenched, you know, and like how Yosep was so like he hated Kyunghee like working full stop. He really did not like Kyunghee working at all. So and like just seeing how Sunja, Kyunghee like try to mediate between like still having to find money but also not letting Kyunghee totally like work in quotation mark, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was like a very interesting part of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the title of the book one is Hometown, Goyang, and the title of book two is Motherland. So could you tell us some about your hometown and motherland, Tyler?
I am from the far north of New Zealand, so quite literally the opposite side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from a small town called Ahipara, and where I come from is predominantly Māori. So I am Māori myself, even though a lot of people wouldn't realise that because I am white passing.
Mm.
And where I come from is also very homogenous. There is not a lot of other people from different ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
And it also made me, I never viewed it as, when I moved out, sorry, it's hard to explain, I had never come across so many people from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it opened my mind. a lot more. Like I never imagined myself wanting to learn Korean ever. But yeah, look at me now.
Yeah. So your life in Dunedin at the university is a radical change from your hometown, your life at hometown.
Very much so. Very yeah. big change. yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you enjoying that these differences?
So much so. I feel like I was very narrow-minded until I left my hometown, and I'm loving how much I have learned in such a short amount of time.
Okay, Grace. So tell us about your hometown and motherland.
So I come from Indonesia, which mm-hmm. is in a Southeast Asian country. I'm from Jakarta, which is its capital city. So mm-hmm. I'm a city girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite a drastic difference, like coming in to Dunedin, which is sort of, although it's still a town, a city, mm-hmm. but it's a much different definition of a city, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I am, I don't know, I'm Chinese Indonesian. So ethnically, I am Chinese. I grew up in sort of like, with Chinese traditions and practices. I celebrate Chinese New Year and that kind of stuff. The community there, we're sort of the minority there, because most of the people from my country are like Indonesian.
Mm-hmm. So what are you most missing from your hometown?
Food.
Food, yeah, yeah.
Definitely food.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like food yeah. is, like I miss it so much.
I think you may feel much less option for your choice.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And like just the culture of food in itself. Mm. Like back home we can get food like till late at night. Here shops close relatively early. There's not a lot of choices, but yeah.
Yes. Okay. So let's have the last question. Each of you will have 1 minute. So how do you relate Korean language and culture to your life, Tyler?
I found a lot of similarities between Korean culture and Maori culture.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was thinking about a lot was how Maori people were also colonized, you know, just as the Korean people were, and in particular the language, where, you know, both Korean people and Maori people weren't allowed to speak their own languages, and how a lot of the culture has also been lost through that way. But I love the Korean language and culture so much. I didn't know much about it, and I've learned about it so quickly. But yes, that's pretty much me.
Did you find a similarity in the language, both Korean and Maori?
Yes, especially in terms of like respectfulness.
Yes.
Obviously the Korean language is a lot more complex, and it has a lot more levels of respect. But yes, just very similar in the way of how I would address certain people in my life.
Yes, yes, yes. Interesting point. And Grace, how do you relate?
Honestly, like almost the same with Taylor, really. Like we were, in terms of oppression, we were actually colonized by Japan for a while as well, like at the start of World War II.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that sort of similarity, I guess. And in terms of culture, like food, you know, we're sort of both Asian countries, so like there's a relatively like a lot of similarities between, and in terms of like language as well, like we do call like people older than us with like titles, you know, in terms of like respectfulness, like there's that sort of hierarchical differences as well.
Yes, I think modern days we don't know where we would settled and live, because life became much more complex and became much freer to move to another country. So I hope this story would be the book, The Pachinko, written by Lee Min-jin, is a very interesting book. So any of you who is interested in the history of Korean Japanese or the immigration of Korean people to overseas, this book will be a great choice. So, yeah, thank you for joining today's show, Tyler and Grace.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure.
감사합니다.
감사합니다.
K-Talk with the Dunedin Korean Society, Tuesday night at 8:30 on OFM. 안녕하세요. 한국 문화에 대한 쇼 K-Talk에 여러분을 초대합니다. Join us for a celebration of Korean culture and music on OFM Connecting Cultures Zone. You will find podcasts of K-Talk at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.